what is not, what is reality, what is make-believe. How much time do you spend thinking about that kind of thing? None? Some? A little bit? I remember learning a couple of years ago the outsized impact that surprise has on us. Reality is that when you're surprised by something, it heightens our senses. And so you think back to the last time you were scrolling through, so earlier today, and there was some headline that was just shocking. It was startling. And it surprised you. Like, what? That's happening? How is that happening? So the reason that people craft their headlines the way that they do is because they're trying to surprise you, because that gets this outsized visceral reaction, which will then cause you to click and scroll down and try to make heads and tails and get to the bottom of, is this really happening or is this some BS clickbait title? So what's real? What's not? So much that sort of goes into this conversation, because so much of what we are looking at is unreal. It's uncertain. And I think that we human beings really crave certainty. I think that we crave understanding. And it's not that we crave the status quo, it's just comfortable. It's like anytime we try and deviate from our current modus operandi, our current routines and habits, our body sort of pulls us back to that because our body wants to keep us alive. It wants to keep good going. Everything's going fine. Could it be better? Sure, but everything's good. So why is George acting this way? Why is he waking up earlier and why is he moving his body? Well, the answer is because I want to lose a little bit of weight. I'm not saying that that's what I want to do. I'm just giving you an example. Why is the behavior different? We need to stop that because we want to keep this person safe. So we crave certainty. Therefore, when we see something surprising, it has this profound impact on us, which causes us to dig into it a little bit more. So what is real? Do you remember the real world?
I hope these skills transfer to the real world.
Do you remember the real world? I thought that I did. I thought that the first season of The Real World was the one with Puck and Pedro. Is that what you think too? Or do you know how dumb I am? Turns out the first season of The Real World was in 1992, the end of last century. It's kind of fun to say that. The end of the last century is when The Real World debuted. And of course, their tagline was, find out what happens when people stop being polite, start getting real. Did that usher in? Was that the first reality television? Did that screw everything up? Well, for the record, the consensus is that Candid Camera.
Smile, you're on Candid Camera. Smile, you're on Candid Camera.
It's actually the first reality TV show, and that's been around for a really long time. I don't know if it's still on or not, but that started in 1948. So if you remember Candid Camera, I think I sort of do. That was clever. So Real World, season 3 of The Real World was what I perceived to be the first season of The Real World. I wonder what Puck is doing. What's the over-under on that deal? I don't want to be morbid. I'll have to look that up. Then there was Dave Chappelle's The Chappelle Show, The Mad Real World. You remember that? Oh my gosh. That has to be one of the funniest skits on the funniest show, funniest sketch comedy show, maybe just funniest show ever. Mad Real World. If you've not seen that one, do yourself a favor and check that out. So what's real? What's not real? There's a lot going on here. The context here, what I wanted to talk about was I got targeted, as we all get targeted 24/7 these days, but I got an ad served up to me on probably Instagram, because that's where I spend most of my social media time. And it was a UBS ad, financial company UBS, and it was some guy, like sort of cameras pulled back, and it was a guy sort of surveying his vineyard. It was a guy on top of a hill, and this epic view of rows of grapes. And I thought to myself, honestly, I was like, motherfucker, just because I like to drink wine and I think about money, I talk about money, does it mean that I have any designs on owning a winery?
Are you mental?
Funny though, right? It's like, oh, look at George. He is talking about and thinking about and searching about money stuff and wine. We're going to go ahead and marry these two and serve him up a clear path to winery ownership in retirement. Oh, okay. All right. That made me think, okay, maybe, probably not. How much does a winery cost? Like if I did have designs, which I do not, of owning a winery, how much would that cost? I really enjoy sitting at a bar and chopping it up and having a drink, but I am, maybe when I was 25 years old, the idea of owning a bar sounded pretty cool. But at 45, it sounds like the dumbest idea, the worst idea that I could imagine. And I love drinking wine. It's great. I'm good at it. It's awesome. But the thought of owning a winery, oh my goodness, can't even imagine. But made me wonder, what does a winery cost? What would I have to do? How much would I need to buy it and then to keep it moving? But then my brain went to, what's the average 401k balance? Like, who are they targeting here? Is this an ad that's going to everybody? Is everybody getting this winery ad, or am I just extra fortunate? Like, what is the average 401k balance, and why would they be serving this up? So I don't know. That got me thinking. Took a step back. Like, okay, let's slow down here. Slow down, George. You like wine. You like the outdoors. You like standing outside and looking at stuff. I like California weather. Maybe a winery is perfect for me. Maybe this is it. Fuck, maybe it's my calling. Can retire from financial stuff, from being a financial professional, and seamlessly move into being a proprietor of a winery. So I dug in because I don't want to miss my calling. So I, okay, all right. So what's the play here? Maybe I start from scratch. Maybe that's the play. And when you search, you go ahead and plug in your favorite search engine, starting a winery from scratch, you will get lots of cool reports. And it made me realize that it doesn't make any sense to do that. It is wildly expensive to start a winery from scratch. There are so many different costs, and it's like they break it down. I'll put the link to the piece that I was reading. It's an academic piece, of course, from one of the local Northern California colleges, and they broke down all the different costs and fees and expenses that go into actually starting a winery from scratch. So it didn't make any sense for me, for my personal financial situation. That's not in the cards for me. So, okay, that's not it, but I still want to pursue my dream. You know, I still want to pursue my newfound dream and calling, passion, my purpose to make wonderful wine. So why don't I just buy an operational winery? You know, I'll step into a going concern and keep it moving, you know, find an already successful operation. And again, with the internet, there are lots of listings on the internet for wineries. You can scoop one up on the low end for about $1.5 million. Not bad, but that probably means that a lot of those startup costs that I was talking about earlier are still in existence. You're still going to need to plow in a bunch of cash to get this thing up and running. It's because there happened to be, or at one point there were grapes on this land, and this, that, and the other thing doesn't mean that this is fully functional. Of course, from $1.5 million all the way up to your imagination, let your imagination run wild, $20, $30, $40, $50 million. Now we're talking. Now I'm stepping into something and I can just sit back and swirl wine and drink it and do the whole surveying the land thing that I was talking about earlier, that dude from the UBS commercial was doing. So the sales price, and there's a lot of ongoing costs. So you know what? That's just not in the cards either. unless things dramatically change, I don't see that path as being the right one for me. But my dream is still alive. I'm not ready to give up on it yet. Maybe I'll head to Italy. I heard stories about Italian towns where you could buy a house for a dollar and you need to put a certain amount of money into that house within a certain amount of time and then it becomes yours. So, okay, similar type deal. Italy, that's like Italian wine. That's some of the best, right? So Italian food, amazing, beautiful there. This could be perfect for me. But however, same problems exist from the domestic wineries, be it from scratch or buying the going concern. Those same challenges financially that I have also exist in Italy. Similar type deal. So long story short, I'm probably just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Going to enjoy wine, whether it's out of a bottle or it comes out of a box. And I'll do that with a big smile on my face because there is no shame in my game. I ain't too proud to drink wine out of most any container. What's that song? It's Green Eggs and Ham. You know, I will drink wine out of a box. I will drink it out of a glass. I'll drink it right out of the bottle. I will drink wine most anywhere. No shame in my game again. All right. So. All fun and games aside, the real world, the mad real world versus pretend world, back to my dreams, back to what I really want. And that kind of does come down to that. Like, what do I really want? What do I really want? Do I want to do these things? Do I want to own a bar, a restaurant, a winery? What do I want to do when I retire? And then, as news keeps always doing, it's just more is, there's always more news being created. Notice that there's always more news, more stuff to read about, new numbers, new magic numbers for retirement. The Wall Street Journal told me a couple of weeks ago, the new number for retirement is, drums please, $1.46 million. $1.46, how deliciously or annoyingly specific. What do you think about that? 1.46. Assume that's true. Are you on track to get there? Assume that's true. Is that a daunting number? Assume that's true. Is that no big deal? Like, oh, that's it? So there you go. The new magic number is $1.46 million. How often do you think about money? Probably more than the average person because you are right now consuming a personal finance video or podcast. How often are you thinking about it? Do you want to think about it? Is it something that you enjoy? Just something you feel like you have to do? It's entertaining. Maybe you work in money. So I wonder, and I think understanding and appreciating how different our brains work and easy to sort of fall into the assumption or trap that we're all thinking the same way. I read an article a couple of weeks back about how there's a good percentage of people that in their brain, they don't have any kind of an internal dialogue. That's fascinating because I have a constant internal dialogue, but more evidence that our brains just are different. So what do you think? Does it make sense to you to just shoot for a sum of money? Just say, okay, you know, hey, if that's the number, 1.46 million, maybe round it up to 1.5, maybe shoot for 2. I don't know. What do you think? Would it make more sense to think about contentment and happiness? What is it that brings me contentment? Have I ever thought about that? What is it that makes me happy? And what would bring me contentment, peace of mind? I skew more towards that. I'm more artistic than I am analytical. So whatever side of my brain that is, I guess I'm more right brain than I am left brain. But I don't want you to get me wrong because the number is really important. But is it too arbitrary? That's the question. Where do we arrive at this number? I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking about and talking about how it's important for us to make up our own mind and think our own thoughts about everything in life. But certainly when it comes to our finances, how concerned am I or how much input and influence am I allowing others outside of myself to make these up, to make these sort of decisions? So have we thought it all the way through? Have you thought about your retirement number or your retirement desires all the way through?
I have several questions.
I don't know. Do you know? 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 What is retirement to you? What is it? Stop working, step away from full-time work, never work again, open a winery. When you think about retirement, what would be the same? Would everything be the same in your life? Would you wake up at the same time? Would you start your day the same way? What would you like to be different? Everything. I never want to think about work ever again. Or I want to keep doing my work just with different, perhaps, deadlines or for less time every day. I don't know. Do you want to own a winery or do you simply want to drink wine? Step number one. I think figure out what you want your life to look like in retirement. So we've taken conversation about the real world all the way to what do you want your retirement life to look like? But I think that that's just the simplest way to think about it. Like, what do you want to do? What do you want your life to look like? Where will you be? Will you be in Italy? Will you be in California? Will you be in whatever? Where will you be? Where do you want to be? Next, who do you want to be with? Who are you going to be with? Do you want to live close to your kids, close to your grandkids? Does that not matter? That's certainly, if that's a priority for you, you might need to relocate because my goodness, we move around an awful lot, don't we? So who will you be with? Where will you be? What are you going to be doing? I think that one of the big dangers of retirement and more so the cause of unhappy retirement is that we do not figure out how we're going to replace what work gives to us, because work gives us a lot. It gives us an enormous amount aside from simply in income, but it gives us a place to go. It gives us something to do. Oftentimes it does give us meaning and or purpose. It gives us community, gives us friends, gives us coworkers, it gives us focus, it does all these things. That's a lot. So where are you going to replace that with? Because to not consider that, to not think about where you're going to get the things that work currently provides you is a major folly. It's a F up. It's a huge mistake because you're going to be looking around trying to figure out what in the world that you're going to do. And like everything in life, it's way better to spend a little bit of time on the front end than it is trying to scramble around and figure it out while, you know, as you're sort of doing it. Okay. So figure out all that stuff. What do you want to do? Where are you going to be? Who are you going to be with? All that stuff. What are you going to do with your time? Then figure out how much all that stuff's going to cost. Okay. So we back into it here. Then figure out how much Social Security that you're going to have. I sure do hope that Social Security is going to be around for as long as we need it to. And I guess I certainly could